In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking again today about the mark of a man. We're sort of edgy and apologetic about words like man and woman and male and female and masculine and feminine these days, aren't we? But let's not be, as Christians. Let's remember that it was all God's idea in the beginning. As C.S. Lewis says, you wouldn't have thought of it. I'm sure I wouldn't have. When Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians, he said, "Whatever work you may have to do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, thanking God the Father through him." And then he tells us immediately what sort of work he's talking about. If we're going to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, what is he talking about? Well, he says, "Wives, adapt yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, grind your wives under your heel." Is that what he says? Most emphatically not. Husbands, he says, love your wives. Love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. Well, anybody who has honestly tried either adapting yourself to your husband or loving your wife as Christ loved the church knows that it's work. It's no use pretending that we're doing things in the name of the Lord Jesus if we're not doing them his way. Let's think about doing them his way. Sexuality, the subject of these talks on masculinity, is not a material object to be used as we feel like it, according to our own preferences and moods and temperaments and tastes. Sexuality is a God-given gift, potent, undeniable, originating in the thought and the love of God. That word headship, is it a red flag to some of you? Do you think of headship as meaning bossism or tyranny? Making your wife obey, telling her, well, you're going to do this or else, dinner at 5:30 or else. Well, I want to tell you about a TV show that I saw. It was on the most wonderful husbands in the world. And a survey had been made, and women had written in to explain why they felt that theirs was the most wonderful husband in the world. 25 people out of who knows how many thousands had been chosen for the program. It was very interesting to me to notice that most of them mentioned God, and the majority mentioned suffering. Now, isn't that significant? The majority of those who had the happiest marriages and thought their husbands were the most wonderful husbands were people who had suffered. There we are back to the theme of this program, Gateway to Joy. It is amazing how suffering is the very key to existence. It is through suffering that we learn our deepest and our most important lessons. The winner of that most wonderful husband's contest had a wife in a wheelchair. He had learned to love through suffering. Christ loved us and suffered for us. He laid down his life for us. And obviously, if a husband is the sole caretaker of his wife and does everything for her, that husband has had to learn something about sacrifice and suffering and servanthood. Three dirty words, according to the world. Three words that most of us, men or women, would most assiduously avoid. I had the experience of having my dear old Uncle Tom staying with me one summer, and he became very ill. It was through having to serve him in his suffering that I learned to love him in a way that I had never learned in all the years before. Ephesians 5 which contains so many warnings about not allowing the world to deceive us with shallow arguments. Have no part or lot with them. Show them up for what they are. Take no part in the barren deeds of darkness. Be careful how you conduct yourselves. Do not be fools. That chapter goes right on from those solemn warnings about not allowing the world to give us our cues. It goes into very, very practical, down-to-earth subjects, where Paul quits preaching and goes to meddling. Immediately after those warnings, he says, "Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ." And specifically, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the man is the head of the woman, just as Christ also is the head of the church." Now, please, ladies, if you are struggling with this, please do not write and expect me to tell you exactly how you are to be submissive to your husband in some special situation that I cannot possibly judge. I'm giving you what the Bible says here, and remember that the Holy Spirit is given to us for our instruction. He will teach us all things. I would implore you to take your questions about the actual working out of these commands to God Himself. If you'll spend 6 hours with God for every 2 hours that you spend discussing the subject with all your friends, you might just be amazed at some of the things that God will show you. Now, verse 25 gets right down to the people that I am particularly talking to in this series, men. Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, to consecrate it, cleansing it by water and word, so that he might present the church to himself all glorious, with no stain or wrinkle or anything of the sort, but holy and without blemish." I'm sure there isn't one man listening to me today whose wife is perfectly holy and without blemish. There are things about your wife you'd probably like to change. What are you doing to help her? What are you doing to make it easy and desirable for her to change? Nagging will never do it. Criticizing, belittling is not going to help. You must lay down your life. And again, the specifics of your case, God is waiting and ready and willing to show you, if you will come to him and offer him all your heart. Authority always means sacrifice. Man is the initiator, even at the beginning of courtship. He has to take the risk of asking a woman for a date, and he may experience the pain of rejection. She may say, "No way, Jose." Sacrificial love is the willingness to be inconvenienced, even turned down. Christ came to his own, and what does the Bible say? His own received him not. He knows what rejection is. Some of you men know what it's like, too. Maybe your wife has just moved out. You're devastated. You're depressed. You're almost incapacitated for your ordinary work. You cry. You don't know where to turn. It may be that God will restore your marriage, restore that woman to you through sacrifice, through sacrificial love. The same sort of love that Christ gave the church when he sacrificed himself for her to make her holy and altogether glorious church, free from spots. Now, soupy, selfish sentiment has got to go. It's not my needs that you need to think about, but hers. And, of course, if I were talking just to the women, I would have a lot to say to you about your side of the difficulties in the marriage. And I just had a wonderful letter from a lady whose husband had moved out, and she was furious and dejected and depressed. And she said she went to a bookstore, and somehow or other, in the providence of God, she laid her hands on my book, Let Me Be a Woman. And she said, "When I started reading that book, I started to cry because I realized all the things that I had not done as a proper wife. And she said, God has taught me, and we're back together and happier than ever before. And I would hope that the same thing might work if you are a husband whose wife has left you. True love asks nothing for itself. But hey, you say, isn't it time I got something? Isn't it time I got a little consideration? What about my needs? You want your wife to submit to you? What is she submitting to? Who are you under God? To what sort of godly headship are you asking her to submit? And are we wives making it hard for them to be our head? Are we wanting a fur coat because Susie has a fur coat? Or new draperies because Jill got new draperies? Or checkbook control because Anne has checkbook control in her family? If you capitulate, you husbands, you'll find yourself in subjection to their whims, and women have whims of iron. Are you evading God's assigned task for husbands? If you're not sure of his model, if you're weak and insecure, it'll be very easy for you to become bullies, obnoxiously asserting your authority. The Bible doesn't say make them obey. The mark of a true man is sacrificial love. He knows that he needs help and grace, and he goes to his knees. Are you in a rage because of your wife's defiance? Helpless? Your pride hurt? Take it to the Lord in prayer. The deepest wrongs may be righted by humbling yourself, by sacrifice, by a gentleness that comes only from above. May God help you today to be the kind of husband who loves his wife as Christ loved the church.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.